Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
Hey. Put a little bit. I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Couple of true professionals right there. Bulldog, I think you would say this about me. I would say it about me. I am a staunch, devoted draft grade the day after the draft defender.
Mm-hmm.
Because when else would you do it?
We got to wait 2 years.
Great. You want to grade the 2020 draft
what
today?
What fun is that?
What actual brain power would it take? Oh, this player was good. A, bam. Great pick. No, there's a lot more that goes into it to do it well. Mike Tenier would know. He does it well. His AFC draft performance assessments are up. You can check that out at his Substack. And the Bills, Mike, a B. Did you feel, was that, I don't know, is that generous as you think about it? Or is that, you want to analyze it, lay it all out, you come up with a grade. Why don't I just ask you the obvious question? Why B?
Did you just give him a B because he didn't want Bills Mafia to attack you? Like, yeah. What was your motivation, Mike?
There it is.
That's sometimes part of it. Sometimes it's like, do I want the smoke on the internet? And you know what you see if you look at my draft grades at miketenier.substack.com, you'll find I have them broken down into three subcategories, like did the team use its resources well? Like, was it smart about trading up, trading down, getting an extra pick, et cetera? You know, a team with two first-round picks should get an A, but what if they pick, you know, two dumb guys? Well, they still pick better guys than they had before the draft, so, you know, how do you do that? For the Bills, I was trending towards I don't like what they did in the first round, trading down, letting other teams take receivers that – I thought it would have helped them. Then they took Keon Coleman, who was not my favorite receiver in this draft. Then it gets better a little bit later on when you get some of the guys in the second round, third round, when you realize they moved up to get some better players by trading down. Some of the guys I see a little later on, I see what they're doing here. So it's a mixed bag. And when in doubt with a mixed bag, give them a B, go on to the next team.
mixed bag equates to a B. Gotcha.
Yeah.
On Coleman, Mike, like what is it exactly? I mean, obviously there are pros there. It wasn't my favorite idea either. If we talked back in the winter or even in the fall while I was watching college football, he jumped off the TV screen every time I watched him play. I'm like, boy, I'd love the Bills to get their hands on this guy. And then, you know, you go through the process and read a lot of scouting reports and the combine and all the stuff, and it's like, oh, maybe this isn't the best idea. Where do you come down on him in this Bills offense?
Well, you know what? I start with you. Like, I'd be watching him in the games, and I, like, watch the cut-ups, and, like, you know, he's got a lot of good things, but he's not real fast. And then he runs a real slow 40 at the combine. I'm like, if he's that unfast, that's a problem. That's the speed level where you can get open, you know, in college because of the way the game is structured and because some of the guys just aren't that good and you can't get open at the NFL level. So when you watch him, you see somebody who's like a crafty route runner who will, you know, kind of run at different speeds, do little head fakes, work the middle, get open. He's the guy who's quarterback. Jordan Travis scrambled a lot. So at the end of the scramble, he's the guy working back to get the ball. And you love that stuff you know, on Saturday afternoon. And you do love that stuff a little bit when you're in a scouting room and you're saying, well, Josh Allen scrambles. We need a guy who's going to be smart and alert and find the place to get the ball and then get the ball and then turn up field. The other thing you see is that Coleman doesn't always catch the ball super clean. If it's a little behind him, a little above him, a little low, he doesn't always make the catch. If it's contested, sometimes he lets a smaller defender get that ball away from him, and that's another side of his game where I said late second round, third round for this guy. So, you know, I look at the offense, and I can see, well, you know, he can work the middle. He'll get open. I wanted to see the guy. I don't know if you can, you know, replace Stephon Diggs. I wanted to see the guy who I could imagine replacing Stephon Diggs. And, yeah, I could see Xavier Worthy doing that a little bit. I could see Adonai Mitchell, if his head is screwed on, doing those things. I don't see Keon Coleman doing those kind of things.
As we've been kind of putting it, you might be seeing the guy who can replace Gabriel Davis, you know, which,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, although it's a different type of guy, because Davis, I think, you know, more speed, et cetera. But Davis worked the middle, too. Working that middle is a big part of what you're going to get from Coleman.
You know, Mike, thinking about your background, and I'm somebody, I consider myself kind of a disciple from reading Aaron and talking to Aaron so many times, Aaron Schatz, and like, you know, it's not, I don't want to say I would want to trade down in every single situation, but it feels like that I'm on the smart side when a team is doing this kind of thing. But like you, I'm a little bit left wanting by the player. And you wrote, interestingly, how you feel like maybe the Bills missed by not making the big move up. If I'm not twisting your words, how would that have gone over for you had they moved like to 9 or something, as there was some speculation about?
If they move to 9, they get like a Dunze. I'm like, this is serious. You know, that was he's the guy that you could have gotten up. I don't think you could have gotten up to Neighbors. Harrison would have been a pipe dream. But you get to that level and you say, well, we traded a first-round pick next year. But, look, you know, we're within a field goal of the Super Bowl. We have to kind of make these bold moves. The Bills are a team that can justify that. Some teams, when they trade up, it's like you need every pick you can get. For the Bills, it's like you need one or two more guys right now to fit in around Josh Allen and make another run. So that was the situation. I didn't love that. And maybe if they didn't trade up, okay, and maybe they don't like Worthy and maybe they don't like Mitchell. And then I look at a guy like Xavier Leggett in South Carolina, who I think that's like a better version of Coleman. If you want a guy who's working the middle, this is a guy who makes more contested catches more smoothly. He's even more of a Debo-like after the catch. Why are you letting another team take that guy to get another pick? And the flip side of that is, you know, I see Dwayne Carter, and I think that's who the Bills got with that Chiefs pick. Yep. And like, wow, that's a heck of a guy to say, well, we moved down three places. Look at this really active, you know, really, versatile defensive tackle to put in our rotation. That's why we did it. And then you can kind of see it more sensibly there.
Right. Cole Bishop is, I think, a pretty interesting selection at this time for the Bills, Mike, because obviously, you know, there's been a lot of tumult here. I mean, we focused so much on receiver leading up to the draft because of Davis and eventually Diggs departing. Yeah. But Hyde and Poyer, I guess the door is still open for Hyde, but we'll see about that. Poyer obviously is definitely gone, signed with Miami. And Cole Bishop, I mean, I don't know, our Sal Capaccio, who's as on top of this sort of stuff as anyone I think can be in one of these jobs where you're a beat writer or, you know, beat guy covering a team, has pointed out how they like veterans in those safety roles. But, man, Bishop athletically, you tell us. I mean, I don't want to lead you in here. I mean, I like the pick a lot. I'm curious what you think of it.
Yeah, I really do like it. I see him penciling in at free safety, and I think of him as a guy closer to the line of scrimmage. But then, you know, the Bills got Rapp for that. And I can see wanting veterans and saying, well, that's why we went out and we got Rapp, and then we got this guy Edwards and all. Bishop is going to play right away. And I would say he's a prospect who plays a little bit like a veteran. He is a little bit one of these older prospects that come out, had the extra COVID year. But he really recognizes what's in front of him very well. He very – very fast, triggers very quickly. He reminds me more of a Poyer than a Hyde. So, you know, I don't know if that's a situation where, well, he learns behind Rapp for a year and he plays in the sixth defensive back package, or if he starts, you know, rotating between the safeties and the positions. I don't know how that works, but it's a smart pick because you had this position of strength, I guess, for the last 5 years. Now you're in a position to continue for safety to be, you know, a diverse position where you can get a lot of different things out of it.
Something that I know they've said, and I think Brandon Bean even spoke to this after the Bishop pick on Friday, they like to use both Hyde and Poyer. I mean, they have the luxury of these two guys they trusted implicitly, but they're sort of interchangeable. Like, so there's not one that's in a traditional, you know, big box safety type. They like to do both things with both guys.
Right, that's true, and they do a lot more of that cover two mentality where, yeah, one can rotate down, the other can rotate down, the two of them can stay back there. And I think, you know, Bishop, I think, will be able to be somebody who does it all. I just love seeing him play around the line of scrimmage because he's a force against the run. He can pass rush a little bit, and he can do some of those fun things.
With Mike Tenier, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog on WGR. Just saying earlier on the show today, Mike, I feel like the conversation, partly because Bulldog and I are kind of in different places on this, or have been, that we'll be having the most about the Bills this offseason from here is whether there's a real change philosophically about from them offensively. Mm-hmm. And I think it's logical to think that there is, and that we saw it when they changed coordinators midseason. They went more run heavy from there, much more, mm-hmm. and won doing it, you know, not ultimately, but they went on a roll. So that plus this draft, you know, this offseason, trading Diggs and not having, like, Ayuk done already or something, makes me think that maybe this team, we've seen the trends in the league, too. All the too high safety stuff, which has sort of forced that on teams like Buffalo. I don't know. Do you feel me here that maybe you wouldn't be surprised? Here I am loading a question for you now.
Yeah. I would love... Because, you know, 2 years ago, like, we could see a little bit less bombing from Josh Allen. That'd be lovely. On third and one, maybe we shouldn't be throwing that bomb, that kind of thing. Like, you're up by 10, 14 points, and you're throwing an interception downfield. Like, why aren't we running and just, you know, taking care of the ball here? And then last year at the end, during that winning streak, it's like, gosh, maybe you guys should open this up a little bit more. I mean, it's great that you're winning by these lower scoring games and all, but you guys should be beating some of these teams by 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns. So it's like a Goldilocks zone. I guess I would like to see who the vertical guy really is, because at some point you want somebody going downfield, stretching the field vertically and saying, Allen has the opportunity to throw his moon ball. And I don't think Keon Coleman's that guy. Shakir strikes me more as a slot guy. Samuel is more of an underneath guy to me. Mac Hollins is just a guy. I mean, he's fast, but it's like straight line deep. He's not like that threat. If that's the philosophy and say it's more ground and pound, there's maybe some more options in there for Allen to run, and there's more short passing, you still want one guy going vertical. I want to know who that's going to be.
Yeah, we do too.
I wonder if maybe that guy's not on the roster. I mean, it's not, Curtis Samuel was a fast player coming out, but it's 7-8 years ago now.
He's like a quick guy now. I think him is like he's going to like the out route and things like that.
Yeah. Anything else jump out at you? I feel like getting a center in the fifth round who played every game for a powerhouse like Georgia in that league is maybe a pretty savvy move.
Right, and that's good that you're getting guys late. There's two philosophies late, and I didn't do a lot of research on, like, the 6th, 7th round guys, I'll tell you. But there's two philosophies. One, you get the super safe guy, and the worst, you got your backup center guard. And the other is to kind of get the guy with the 4-2 speed from the Division III school with 7 arrests or whatever. The Bills didn't do a lot of that, like that maybe gamble on greatness type of thing. But, you know, yeah, you get a center late in the draft. You get an extra cornerback in Daquan Hardy. He's from a big program. I don't know that much about him. Ray Davis is a guy that I did look at a lot, and he's an interesting choice because he bounced around college football for a couple of different years. And by the time he's playing, I think he was 24 years old last year. But he looked like he was, you know, I don't know, Christian McCaffrey at Kentucky. Like he was that level of, like, impact player. You get him late, and again, if you're doing ground pound and he's a guy you're rotating in, that's somebody who can really add value for you as a guy coming off the bench.
That's a compliment, right? McCaffrey at Kentucky when you watched him?
Yeah, it wasn't the right comp. I'm trying to think of somebody else who's a right. Running backs are so devalued right now that it's like hard to find the guy. He looked like Le'Veon Bell when Le'Veon Bell was good, kind of like that.
Okay. Do you think, I mean, we had, as was expected or predicted, you know, running backs pushed down in this draft. Nobody really liked the class that much. No suspense at all about whether anybody would go in round one. Yeah. Are teams ready to turn to day three running backs as if they are being counted on and not just like, you know, dart throws?
I think they don't mind them in the committee. What you saw this year, because people saw that this draft class wasn't that good, you saw the Eagles grabbing Barkley for a little extra money. You saw Tony Pollard signing, you know, for a little more than you might expect. You see Aaron Jones, you know, the Packers are done with him, and the Vikings snatch him up. Like in the past, these running backs who are veterans would sit around, wait for the phone to call, the phone to ring. And this year they were getting picked up. You know, Devin Singletary gets picked up again. That's teams saying, hey, we're probably going to get a running back in the 4th or 5th or 6th round. If he's not ready, We have Devin Singletary. We have Joe Mixon. They're going to run the right route when they're asked to run a pass route. They're going to go to the right hole. They're not going to fumble, the first time they're hit, et cetera. We have this insurance policy. I think it's going to wax and wane with running backs, but I think it's going to wax and wane between the second and fourth round, not between, like, the fourth and the sixth round from year to year.
So what stands out from the rest? Maybe focusing on the division. We get to the Chiefs, so the Bills traded with on Thursday, of course, like spooking some of us, me included. I'm sort of half inclined to hang up the phone anytime the Chiefs call me to ask me if I want to do anything with them. But I respect the business, and then the Bills got paid to let KC get a guy they probably would have gotten anyway. How about the division here? The Patriots, we both liked in here Javon Baker a lot on Saturday. They get him. They got Jalen Polk. And, of course, at the head of it here, it all hinges on Drake May. What did you think of New England's draft, Mike?
My problem with their draft and the receivers they picked the downfield guys with their speed that was like 4.52. The downfield guys would be great speed downfield guys in 1997 are now like a step or two slower than the Xavier Worthy types, et cetera. So I don't like what the Patriots did overall because I don't think they added the top talents. They added guys who played well in college, with the exception of May. May is a top talent at quarterback. And it seems too much like what they've been doing in recent years at all their positions. Like, they're trying to get these finished products, and they go on the field, and the Patriots have the slowest offense and no downfield threat and, no big, super slot guy who can, make 20 guys miss. They never have those guys. I don't think they have them now. I'd be worried about the Jets. Yep. And what the Jets did if you're worried about somebody in the division.
I am optimistic about what the Jets did this weekend, and it makes me feel icky and weird, wrote our guest Mike Tenier. I can appreciate that. Like, I think you also had a tweet. Maybe you weren't being asked this, or just you were, quote, tweeting someone else. Like, I would be talking about the Jets draft, but it's not interesting when it's good.
Right. I did that. Yeah, because it's like I have these 20 jokes ready whenever the Jets do something dumb, and I don't have any praise ready when they do something wrong. It's like, oh, I should probably mention, that was really good. This team isn't they're not Team Rocket from Pokemon where they just do dumb stuff all the time. Sometimes they try hard and they do the right thing. And they, in the offseason, added all these, veteran offensive linemen. And then they bring in Olafoshanu, who's a great young left tackle, to bolster that line. So you're not going to have this Jets team that can't protect any of their quarterbacks this year like you did last year. They bring in Corley, who's like a super nifty, break 20 guys miss along the way, middle of the field guy. And that's great when you already have Garrett Wilson. You're not looking for a wide receiver one. You're looking two or three. Then they added a couple running backs, who's more like a thunder and lightning combination. So they're going to be able to do a lot of different things with Aaron Rodgers. They can protect him better now. They can let him hand off more. They can let him throw a screen short. They're not going to be reliant on him being a hero. I don't know how he feels about that, but we will cross that bridge when we come to it. And don't forget, the Jets' defense is still pretty amazing, so they can kind of downshift into second gear, kind of like the Bills did last year, and win a bunch of games if their offense isn't an active liability.
Just a couple of minutes left with you, Mike, here, if you don't mind. The Penix pick, Atlanta. I did not read what you wrote about that. Of course, the majority can't make sense of it. Or you can make sense of it, but it's still bad, I think. Maybe that's a better way to put it. What do you think?
Yeah, that's it. You can make sense of it. And I'll have Falcons fans like, you got to look at 2026. And I look at them like, you, and a Falcons fan has been living in misery since 28-3. There's no way you're sitting there thinking, we have to look at the long game. You want something now. The Falcons want something now. Go win a playoff game. They haven't done that since 28-3. You've had like 7-9, 17 seasons, 10 seasons for years. They needed edge rushers. They got Kirk Cousins. They got Darnell Mooney. Get an edge rusher or two. Go win your division. Go show some success. When you bring in Michael Penix, I think it's just an example of an organization talking itself into something, losing sight of what its goals are, maybe having some friction inside where there's one person in the organization who said, we have to have a five-year plan, and you have somebody else saying, my God, we just spent $100 million on Kirk Cousins. There's no five-year. There's September, October, November. When you have that kind of confusion, that's what makes organizations bad. I think Bills fans remember that Bills fan organization was bad for many years. Falcons are making those kind of mistakes.
Running backs on top of running backs in the early rounds, the first round, the Bills, when it is tougher now, right? Would you say, like, the point about the Jets, like, fewer teams seem like, donkey sort of teams than maybe there used to be. But Atlanta comes around, the GM is talking about how it's actually good if in 4 or 5 years, Penix turns out. He's old already, by the way.
Right. He's almost 30 in 4 or 5 years.
That's just insane.
Right, that's it. And you're talking to a GM, and it's like, you probably won't be there if this fails. You know, you won't be there to see the fruits of your labor if Cousins has a bad year or two. The thing about the Falcons is there's a GM, and then there's a team president, McKay, above the GM, and then there's, you know, extra super secret GM running around, and Ryan Pace, the guy who ran the Bears for a couple of years. Their organization might be a little weird, and that might be contributing to some of these decisions.
Mm. I know we already touched on Drake May when we talked about New England, but overall, seeing as we're on Penix and what Atlanta did, how about the landing spots for the quarterbacks in general? Like you know, stack them here, like best to worst scenarios for these rookie QBs, Mike.
I'll go in order how they were drafted. Caleb Williams, let's start with, he's going to be throwing to DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, Keenan Allen, and Cole Kmet.
Pretty good.
Yeah, Brock Purdy would be like, oh my God, you've got good weapons with that. That's a great combination. The offensive line will be good enough. We'll see how that goes. I think Jaden Daniels has landed a really good spot with Washington. Washington didn't do anything really silly in the last year or so. Again, their owner's gone and their structure is different, which helps. He has some good weapons already in place there, adequate offensive line, veteran offensive line. That's a good situation. This is not what RG3 walked into 13 years ago, where it was like chaos all over in the Dan Snyder, Mike Shanahan era. That's a good situation. May, again, I don't think he has the weapons. I don't know. They drafted another quarterback, Joe Mixon. I think that's always a bad sign because these things tend to turn into dramas along the way. McCarthy's weird. For McCarthy, I want to see the Justin Jefferson extension done.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel comfortable that he'll have Jefferson, he'll have Hockenson, and this organization, that organization is not in disarray. I'm not 100% certain in that case. And Bo Nix, they have no talent there. They've got no talent in Denver. And I think Sean Payton's looking for his Drew Brees, and I don't know if anyone's Drew Brees. So I wish Bo Nix the best of luck. First thing he's got to do is he's got to outperform Zach Wilson and Jared Stidham in a quarterback competition. I think he can handle that.
That should be okay. That should be okay. Speaking of old rookies, Bo Nix. Okay, Mike, hopefully things are going well. Still love reading you at the Substack, and especially during the draft. Really a lot of interesting and fun and funny kind of takes. So great job, and thanks for your time, as always.
Thank you. Take care, and enjoy some off-season.
Oh, yes. Touch some grass season. Are we at that point? Maybe we are. I just was in the men's room before this segment started, and a coworker's in there. And he's like, "The draft is finally over." I'm like, "Bite your tongue."
Right.
Right. How dare you? So soon.
Taking a victory
lap here. Come on. Come on. Maybe we can make it last. We're certainly on it today. 803-0550 for your calls. We'll go back to the phones after the update. Sal joins us at 5. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.